Good morning, all. It's nice to see everyone here. I'm going to be speaking on one of my favorite subjects in the Bible today. It's on Jesus. We're going to read a lot from the Bible. I need to ask, is there anyone here who needs a Bible? Or I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, if you would want a New King James Version to follow along. Anyone need a Bible? You need one? Oh, okay, good enough. I was going to give him a Bible. Oh, okay, good. All right. Okay, you can see the title of my talk today is In Christ. This has intrigued me for many years, is two words, in Christ. Often repeated through the word, but it's a little mysterious. And so we're going to look into that. It's so important, because if you're not in Christ, you don't have the power, you don't have salvation. So it's just a key element, very important. And my goal is that today, that at the end of the talk here, that we'll see even more so our great need for Jesus Christ. And also, that we'll see how we can have a beautiful, intimate relationship with Him. So it's very important. So join me as I pray. Dear Father in heaven, Almighty God, we come humbly before you. We have nothing to offer, nothing to bring. We are sinful, lack wisdom, lack understanding. So we need you. We need your Spirit. So fill us up here. Fill me up as I speak, that you speak through me and everyone here, that they can hear your words, Lord. We love you, dear Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. As I said, this in Christ is a recurring theme through the Bible, and it shows us how Jesus is the center of all things, the focal point of every aspect of our lives. It also shows this close unity and intimacy that we have with Him, being in Christ. But first of all, speaking of man, I want to get it really clear from the start what man has to do with this. So I'm going to read five verses. I won't give the scripture text if you want to give them later. Just, you're familiar with all of them. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And finally, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We need to keep that always in the forefront of our minds, what we are, because the continual enemy that we have is pride, thinking that I'm doing pretty good, I'm better than him, better than her, I'm doing all right. The heart's deceitful above all things. Where does our safety lie? In the Word. Not man's opinion, man's traditions, what someone says. It's only in the Word as led by the Spirit. So with all this badness about man, what's our hope? Fortunately, we read in Ephesians 4:7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we've all been received a little bit of grace from God. What a blessing. Without that, there'd be no way. Okay, let's turn with me to Philippians. And we're going to go to chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So I can't take any glory in this, like, well, yeah, I've chose to follow Jesus. God put that desire in my heart. Without that, I would never want God, never want anything to do with him. He brought me to him, and I don't have any power to do anything once I get there. So he gives me the power to do for his good pleasure. It's all about him, not what's in it for me. What can I get out of this? It's for him and his good pleasure. So, so important. Now also stand in Philippians, the next chapter, chapter 3, going down to verse 9. It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That is our whole salvation. It is righteousness by faith, not my righteousness, not your righteousness. We have no righteousness. Not even that much. The righteousness is Christ's righteousness. We claim his righteousness. Praise him and thank him for it. Now, I want to go back here now to the opening text, 2 Corinthians 5. And if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, this is a key text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm going to continue reading through 21. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Notice there it says God was in Christ. Where it starts out in 17, if anyone is in Christ, that's us in Christ. And God was in Christ. Going on with 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, verse 21, I believe, is one of the key texts in the whole Bible. It takes the whole plan of salvation, the eternal gospel, and puts it in short form. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Powerful, powerful words. Now, how do we do this? Turn over to Galatians. Chapter 2 and verse 20. This is another verse. If you don't have it highlighted or underlined, you should do that. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Powerful, powerful words here. Now this being crucified with Christ, that is death to self. And we all know self. Self is you. Your thoughts, your emotions, and self is intrinsically evil and bad and lost. So self has to die. I have been crucified with Christ. The only way Christ can be in us, or for us to be in him, and the only way we can do in him is to die to self. Because Christ is pure and holy, we are filthy and sinful. The two don't match. So by dying to self and being crucified with Christ, we can be in Christ. Now this death to self is something that has to happen continually, daily. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. And possibly many times through the day, it's a continual battle with self wanting the supremacy. I'm smart. I can do things. I'm strong. That's just always there. We have to push that down and claim Jesus. Now, what does Jesus say about this? Let's look over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9. Luke 9 and verse 23. Now this is Jesus speaking. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me. How many here desire to come after Jesus? Okay, here he tells you what to do. If you desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's Jesus telling you. If you want to follow him, that's what you do. If you hear a story, just turn to Jesus and life will be a bed of roses. You'll have wealth. You'll have health. To follow him, what do you have? A cross to bear. Now, he does bless us abundantly, and he wants us to have life abundantly, and that's what he desires for us. But it's a sinful world. We're in sinful fleshly bodies, and there's going to be sickness, cancer, death, horrible things. That's part of it. But we still, through faith, need to hold on to Jesus no matter what. Now, this being in Christ and Christ in me and God in Christ, very complex terms to grasp and understand. And the Bible agrees. Turn with me now to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And it's going to go to chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 26 and read a few verses here. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. This is a mystery. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is a great mystery, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Going on to verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He's not going to present me or you perfect on ourselves, no matter how much we have our list of like, okay, I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit cussing, I go to church, and all these things, like filthy rags. Our perfection is in Jesus. Our righteousness is in Jesus. It's Him. And the final verse, 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. When you die to self and you enter Christ and He enters you, He will work in you mightily. The Bible says everything Jesus did, we'll be able to do, because we'll have that same Spirit within us. But we have to do this. No. Speaking of the Spirit, now we have a spirit, a small s. Every man has a spirit. That's how we commune with God. But His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a capital S. How and where does that come into us? Again, this is a mystery, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So our body is the temple. This body here, that's the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do we glorify God in our body? Now, this is a sinful body. It's got problems. It can't see, can't hear right, and got warts and scars. But still, as much as possible, we need to glorify Him in our body. We do that by what we eat, what we drink, what we think. We take care of our bodies, exercise, the 8 laws of health, the new start. Everything that we can do, we need to do, because this body's not mine anymore. Jesus purchased this body on the cross. I'm His. I don't have that luxury to like do, hey, I'll do whatever I want here. It's going to be okay. Jesus died for me, and that's all I need. He wants us to glorify Him in our bodies. So people look and say, whoa, you're pretty healthy. How do you do that? Well, praise God, I'm following Him. Very important. Now, we also see this intimate connection in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, up in verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we were washed and clean and justified by the Spirit of God. Now, over in Ephesians 5:26, it says that we are washed by the water of the Word. And Jesus is the Word. So see how these are so interchangeable here with Jesus, the Spirit, the Father. It's a very mysterious thing, but the Bible speaks of it, so we need to try to grasp it all. And another verse that really shows this is over in Luke chapter 1. Very appropriate for our season here. Now, no one can deny that Jesus is the Son of God. When God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God is the Father, Jesus is the Son. But Luke 1 in verse 35 says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So God used the Holy Spirit with Mary. Jesus uses the Holy Spirit to be in us. Christ's body is in heaven on the throne with the Father. His physical body can't be in everyone on earth who's a believer, but he's in us through the Spirit. But he is in us. Rest assured of that. This is confusing, but maybe the best explanation is given in the Bible. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. And we're going to read 1 through 8. This is Jesus speaking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." So when we come to Jesus, acknowledge our sin, our guilt, claim him and his righteousness, ask him to come into our heart, accept him as our Lord, as our Savior, we are justified at that instant. When God sees us at that moment, he sees Jesus' righteousness. Are we righteous at that point? That's where sanctification comes in. But this branch being in the vine, that is being in Christ. The branch not in the vine, laying on the ground, withers and dies and is gathered and thrown into the fire. So once the branch is in the vine, the life-giving sap from the vine flows into the branch. As when we're in Jesus, the Spirit flows into us. Now, a new branch just coming out there, is it going to bear wonderful, luxurious fruit? No, it's a small little branch. It has to be guided along, maybe put through, and a little wild thing comes off. It has to be snipped and pruned. Anybody here ever been snipped and pruned by God? He will do it. Then eventually it produces better and better and better fruit as time goes on through this process. Going on, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. This is my prayer often, that God, help me to abide in you, and please abide in me." These two things are essential. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's how we can bear fruit. And I read from one of my favorite Christian authors, when we live by faith on the Son of God, the fruits of the Spirit will be seen in our lives. Not one will be missing. So there may be an apparent connection with Christ without a real union with him by faith. A profession of religion places men in the church, but the character and conduct show whether they are in connection with Christ. It doesn't do good to just try to do things and profess it. Your heart has to be broken. You have to die to self and cling to Christ. You have to be in him for his Spirit to flow into us. Okay, I want to go over a few other verses here now. We kind of have a grasp of these things over in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a short book. I would recommend anybody to just read through the book of Ephesians slowly and then read through it again and again. Wonderful, wonderful book. But right now we're going to look at Ephesians 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen to what this is saying. Through Jesus, the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now we're going to go down to verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood. There is no other way to be redeemed from our sinfulness and our lost state. We are redeemed through Jesus, through his blood, through his sacrifice. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. Remember, it's all about him. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. So in this end of times, as it all wraps up, everything in heaven, the angels, other intelligent beings in the universe, everyone on earth, we're all going to be gathered together in one, in him. Oh, look forward to that day. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So we have an inheritance. You might be excited about an earthly inheritance. You inherit a house or a chunk of money or something like, ooh, that's great, great. We have an inheritance of mansions in the kingdom and eternity with Jesus. Thank you, thank you. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the opposite of the mark of the beast. You don't want that. Through Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It's all about glory to God, glory to the Son. Now let's look over in chapter 2 here. We're going to start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, that's all of us. You either have been or you are. And if you are, come to Jesus right now. His hand is out, and accept him, and it's that fast, you'll be justified. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is present tense. If you're redeemed, you're saved, you're a child of God, you are in Christ. Where is Christ right now? He's on the throne at the right hand of God in heaven. And if we're in him, where are we right now? We are with him on the throne. It's a reality. It's hard to grasp, but keep that in mind. Dwell on it. Know that you're a child of the King. Live and act accordingly. Now the reason for this is, he raised us up and set us together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. The reason is that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. So everyone will look at him and think, look at his grace that he redeemed that sinful Bruce. What a wonderful Savior. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now this is a well-known verse, but now it's in maybe a different context. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And the final verse is verse 18. This is a wonderful verse. It says, for through him, that's Jesus, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now here all three persons of the Godhead are listed, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. So through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit. Through the Spirit, we have access to the Father. This is a wonderful privilege. I want to read something, a wonderful book called Steps to Christ. If you don't have it, I think we have some out there, get it and read it. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey His law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with His love, with the joy of communion with Him, that it will cleave to Him, and in the contemplation of Him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formalism, and heavy drudgery. So this, I hope you can see how important being in Christ is. And as you take that forward, now that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, great verse, and I'm going to sing a song here. The gift isn't my singing, the gift is the words of the song. So listen to it, and hope you're blessed by it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me He will not impute sin. I have been crucified with Christ, crucified and buried with Him. We are one with Him in righteousness after He became one in sin. He became as we were, so we could be as He is now. He became one with us in death. We became one in life with Him. And I'm confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me He will not impute sin. He died to make us live, to make us righteous. He was made sin. He became sick to make us well. He suffered shame to bring us glory. He went to hell to take us to heaven, was condemned to justify us. He became sick to make us well, was cast out from the presence of God to make us welcome there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. Oh, I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me He will not impute sin. Hallelujah. On me He will not impute sin. Dear Father, we praise Your name. We thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your patience with us. Thank You for the great, wonderful gift of Your Son who died in our place, that has granted us inheritance into Your kingdom through His blood, through His righteousness. Dear God, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and help us to die to self daily that we can live for You. Please, Lord, we need You. Fill us with Your Spirit. Guide and direct our every action, our thought. Be with everyone here. Bless each of us in a mighty way that we can bring glory to You. We ask all this in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all.